and his children, his child Narayan. And where is the elder one?
He's actually the only one is Keshava. He's 1 year younger.
Oh, Keshava.
Over at Arjuna.
Yeah, Keshava is 1 year younger.
Yeah.
Where is Keshava?
He was over at Arjuna. You know, I kind of thought I was kind of like introduced.
Actually, does Keshava have some beard?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. So I couldn't recognize him. He was with him the other day.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I just didn't want to, you know, identify him or address him without properly being completely sure about it. You know.
Right.
Maybe Lochan Prabhu can sit there in the sofa. Please. Maybe some of you can come on this side. Sit down. Jayashree, before I forget, I saw your thing, but what I would like is a kind of a what they call a business plan. Business plan is, you know, like it is what, first of all, what you want to do, what is needed for that, and what will be the expenses. Like needed means, you know, like you'll need, say, a room for, you know, of this size, and office and things, you know, like that. Location where you want to have that, what will be the best place for that, and then, you know, how many patients you are planning to see, give all the requirements, the space, manpower, money and all that, and then you also give the return, like say, you know, like this will be the investment and this will be the return. Okay. Because, you know, a businessman would want to see where is his profit, right? So, of course, you know, Archana probably could. You spoke to her this morning. Okay. Yeah. And Archana, you are leaving tomorrow also, right? Stay in touch with the phone. And I was hearing, like, you see 40 patients every day. Whereas generally they sit only 12 or 13. They're just exploiting you.
And the patients as well.
They're exploiting the patients as well. Okay. Material nature. Yeah. The world of exploitation.
I schedule me to see 25.
The
actual number is 25.
There's
still
2 minutes. Yeah, it's double. If it's 12 is the average, what they do in that period of time. And let's see if I can help you. Like, when I heard that, you know, I thought, you know, like, let's see what you can do. One of the things that I'm trying to do is create facilities for our children, meaning you're also one of our children, to kind of become situated in a way that they can, you know, enhance Krishna consciousness and they can create opportunities for others. First of all, you know, they can be absorbed in a gainful way. My idea is very clear, very simple. When somebody is paying you X amount of money, you know, he's obviously making X plus Y. Yes. Otherwise, why will he? He's not doing charity. Now, if we can have our devotees be engaged, say I'm talking about those who are professionals, you know, those who have, like, those who are working outside, and if we can engage them and make them earn X amount of money, and even if we can make half Y, still then it is, you know, beneficial for a movement, because that half Y can be used in promoting Krishna consciousness. And my experience is actually the other way around. They, you know, like I have seen devotees, when they want to, when they get an opportunity like that, you know, they're prepared to work for half X amount, and they make 2Y. So that's why when I heard you the other day, you know, immediately it just occurred to me, you know, like, you know, let's see if we can help you out.
I certainly have that desire, because I know that it helps with the integration of Krishna consciousness into our lives if we can remain in that consciousness.
Exactly,
and
yeah.
Into our workplace and speak from what we know.
Exactly, yeah. Like, I'll tell you how I got this idea. You know, I used to be very much involved with the youth in London. They called Pandav Sena. Actually, from the very inception, you know, I was involved with them. And you know, bright boys, very enthusiastic, you know. And then, you know, like they, you know, I saw those who are so committed, so involved in Krishna consciousness, when they complete their studies and go into pursue their career, then gradually they drift away. And it's understandable, you know, like they are in that environment, which is very, very, very mike, very materialistic, very degrading. And besides that, you know, they are so tired at the end of the day that they don't have any time to come to the temple. At least, you know, you are in a small town, so probably for you to go to the temple from your work is not that difficult. But in a city like London, you know, from your so much travel, and so from your house to the office and office to house and then go to the temple, you know, like it becomes very difficult. And initially what they would do, they would come on Saturdays and Sundays, then they would come only on Sundays, then they would stop coming. And you know, like I would see for months, I mean I would not see them for years together, you know, like. And it started to kind of, you know, make me think, you know, how to, you know, if we can't stop our wastage, we cannot grow. Like, can you hold water in a bucket that has a hole? Like, no matter how much you pour, you know, it will drain out. Now that's exactly what's happening to us institution today. Like, devotees are coming and joining and then they're leaving. And as a result of that, you know, we are not growing. So we have to make some arrangement that we can stop that wastage of loss of devotees. And anyway, so I had been thinking of various things and all. And that's how I got this idea. You know, initially what I was doing is I was telling them, why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? You know, initially I told them, why don't you create a kind of a consortium where you all can be together and form a company like a Chamber of Commerce, right? And you provide service, like, you know, some of you are doctors, some of you are lawyers, some of you are plumbers, some of you are, you know, and society needs these services, and you provide services to them and have our congregation in our mailing list, in your mailing list, and tell them whatever service you need, we'll provide. Like, you know, I mean, you need all these services, you know, doctor service, dentist service, and, you know, even plumbers. To get a plumber is so difficult nowadays in London. Right. So, you know, like, and we have our we have devotees who are plumbers. We have devotees who are carpenters. We have devotees who are mason. You know, so, but you know, like, it didn't happen. I've been telling them for years. And then I realized that they won't be able to organize themselves. They're too young, you know. And we have to do it. And that's how I got involved in trying to help them out. And it's happening. It's happening. You know, they can, all they need is direction. And today things are happening, you know, like, I mean, today we have an office in London. Some of our youth are engaged in that, and they're running, you know, regular businesses. And so that's how, you know, I developed this idea. And let us see what we can. And when I was talking to you the other day, I thought that, you know, like, I mean, probably we can create a situation for you where you can start your own business. Maybe you won't be able to take care of the business aspect of it, you know, but that somebody else can do that.
I would be glad to someone else.
So
the idea, and this was from last year, and it's slowly forming, because what I put in place were ideas, but we could have a whole set of consultants, medical consultants, that teach, traditionally, right, you can teach straight from Bhagavad Gita how to maintain the health.
That, exactly, yeah. And when you develop your relationship, they listen to whatever you say. And you're in a very good position to give them the guidance, you know, like for example, I know one Ayurvedic doctor who started his career in South Africa. He's doing very well, And one of the things that he tells his patients, that you have to become a vegetarian. And even the Muslims are becoming vegetarian. When it's a health issue, they are prepared to do anything, you know. If it is good for your, if you tell them that, you know, it will be good for your health, it will be good for your cure, they'll do that, you know. And so, you know, this is how, you know, like, when somebody is in a position, when people are going to accept his direction, you are actually in a position to preach Krishna consciousness. May not be directly, but in an indirect way, in a subtle way, you can, you know, inject it to them.
I was wondering about that, because both could be there in different, it depends on the setting. In terms of sound vibration, and because sound vibration is, you know, goes directly to the consciousness and can influence the consciousness.
Right.
So if someone's in the state of mind, and we're always battling the mind and the modes are going, if they had like some small mantra to chant, elevate them.
Right.
And I know people say, well, you couldn't have them chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, you know, the Maha mantra, but I was just reading in the book today, and I was inspired about the glories of Navadvipa. If they were chanting, you know, Nitai or Gauranga or Gaura Hari, you know, just something, you know, because I see that in psychiatry.
Or even Jai Nrisinga, Jai Nrisinga.
Jai Nrisinga.
Thank you.
That's what I need to meditate on.
Nitai is nice, though.
Huh?
Nitai is very nice.
Yeah, any name of the Lord is.
Any name. So, would it be, because I, on one hand, professionally, I would like to be able to write about the science of this, and why would it be beneficial to chant the sound vibration, but one day. But then, at the same time, clinically, I could just write something down and say, you know, when you're alone, when you know, there's no one to call and you're, you know, in whatever situation, you can chant this. You can chant this all the time. Anytime, people who have panic attacks, everyone's full of anxiety. This is, it gives real comfort. Because, and this is the thing, in psychiatry, you have people who desire to improve upon their lives, but don't have the will. They don't have the will or the association.
him.
This is what Krishna is giving us. He's giving us him and his association and his name. So if they took that with them, they would have his association. I mean, to whatever degree they would be willing to call on him.
Right. Right. And people in that, you know, those who are suffering and they get some guidance as a remedy, they'll accept it, no matter whatever you tell, whatever you offer them, whatever you ask them. I told you about that South African doctor's experience, the Toklosh. Were you there?
Oh, yes.
The ghost. Yes. And he gave her the Nrisinga mantra. And a picture of Lord Nrisinga they have to put by the...
And a picture.
And she took it. She took it, she memorized the Nrisinga mantra and gave the whole thing, Namaste Narasinghaya Prahlad. I mean, probably she had difficulty pronouncing it, but I tell you, I mean, the way I got, I heard it from him. The moment she said Namaste Narasinghaya, the top class ran for his life. So stay in touch with Archana and we'll see. So Kardamani Prabhuji, how are you? Thank you for coming. I this time... Thank you. So... Please take up this objective of organizing the devotees. Create that sangha of the devotees. As I suggested yesterday, like, you see, I may not be able to, you know, be here and give the time, but at least, you know, I will try my best to help in whichever way I can. Like, please feel free to write to me, and it'll be nice also if you can, you know, like just start it off like that, you know, make... I was talking to Krishnadas yesterday and I told Krishnadas to take the initiative to get some of you together and sit down and have a brainstorming session how to do it. So, he is not here, but he has gone to buy something actually. A shop. So, and he was very, very inspired by that idea. Said that he, basically Krishna is a little shy, and he was saying, telling me, well, I'm not so advanced, I'm just a neophyte. I said, no, you've been a devotee from 1974. And you still consider that you are a new devotee? Prabhupada, 4-month-old devotee Prabhupada sent them out to, you know, open centers in different corners of the world. And so we should... Anyway, he's humble basically. So, but anyway, I just told him, no, you have to. After all, what you're doing, you're just getting all, everyone together. You don't have to lead them. They will, but you make the arrangements for them to meet.
It's so funny because he called me today.
Oh.
But I was thinking what you're saying because Bir Krishmaraj just told me that he said that in the community I should be a senior advisor, but the idea is for the people to come together and to take responsibility as a congregation. But instead, I called Krishnadas and he says to me, Guru Maharaj has an instruction for you, Krishna Priya. He said, yeah. He says he wants me to push you to do something about the whole situation. I was like, well, let's just have a meeting and everyone can talk. But that's the whole idea, is that, you know, for everyone to come together and for the community to encourage each other and to grow.
Yeah.
So he was like, we've been telling you this. That's why I'm glad to hear your vision on that.
And, you know, like, you all have to take that initiative yourselves, you know. Like,
yeah.
As I was telling you, instead of waiting for some leader to come,
exactly.
You know, like, take the leadership.
Exactly.
You know, do it yourselves, you know, instead of waiting for someone to come and save the situation. You all save the situation.
That's what I was thinking also, because someone had come up to me yesterday and saying, yeah, you have to immediately start inviting sannyasis all the time. And then I said, when Krishna sends people to inspire, that's fine, but we need to come
right.
together as a community, be able to, you know, share and to grow. And so I was trying to...
Ranga Devi, so happy to see you. I hope yesterday I was not too heavy with you.
No.
Yesterday on the way up to the temple, I mean when standing up the stairs, I saw Ranga Devi and I told her, where you been?
Aww.
I don't see you nowadays. Yeah, thank you. And I hope you didn't mind. Okay. I know, like, you know, when you have your child and you have to take care of your household, and you're saying that you're running a business also. Wonderful. So I can well imagine how busy you must be. You see, like, why ask? Because I used to always see you in the temple before, and now when I come and don't see you.
I know, it's so strange, isn't it?
Yeah, right.
Everyone says that.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
No, I'm glad. I didn't know Ranga Devi was here. One thing also we were on, I wanted to bring up, it's a different topic, but because I've spoken with like some of your disciples who in the future would be like interested in being able to go on the altar, like for instance, Shamagori, she sews a lot for the deity, so in the future it would be nice for her to have brahminical initiation and be able to worship
the
deity.
Sure. Where is Shamagori? Oh. Yeah, sure. So when you're coming to Vail, Colorado, are you? Oh, I think Rishikesh cannot get leave now, you know, because he started a new job.
I don't know.
Okay. Probably I'll hold initiation there. Then I'll give you. Yeah. Yeah, we discussed about that. Yeah, sure.
And the other question I had also was, at different times, you know, Krishnadas is talking about, you know, wanting to, like, some guideline for studying more, and then at the same time, the way their life is, for them to do a complete Bhakti Shastri study is difficult. So, like, what would you recommend?
Do you have Bhakti Shastri here?
We don't have anyone teaching it. I've never been certified in Bhakti Shastri. I have all the books for it. I took some Bhakti Shastri with Rama, but I'm not a certified Bhakti Shastri teacher.
Jagadguru was offering that at one point.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Let's see if we can have the Bhakti Shastri course conducted here. Yeah, it'll be good. Like, you know, studying on one's own and studying under the proper guidance in a systematic way goes a long way, actually. It's much more effective.
Yeah, I've done at different times. I had, when Irma was here, I had done a lot of it with her. We used to meet. So then I was wondering, if Jagadguru wasn't willing to do it, should we just start with the books and work on our own, or we would you want them to work through?
Yeah, I mean, it has a course, but it has to have a specific syllabus.
Yeah, I have a few syllabuses. Maybe we can talk and see.
Yeah. I think Vrindavan even have a correspondence course, like that can be coordinated.
That's what I think would be good to do, for them to sign up and then to be able to,
And Jagat Guru can,
oversee.
Take that same course, and the correspondence course, coordinate his course with the correspondence course, or can have a kind of a connection with them. And
I can ask Jagat Guru if he would like to.
Yeah, please do that.
Otherwise, if Jagat Guru wasn't, I was going to try to have them teach guide them, meet with them and go over the class.
And we have to keep ourselves, what is the best way to protect our Krishna consciousness?
Hearing and chanting.
Hearing and chanting. And in order to do that, we have to be together. And also we have to remember another thing. Kali spreads his influence by dividing. Now, see, when the enemy attacks in a certain way, do you know what is the military strategy to counteract that? Just to take the opposite way. Say, for example, Kali's strategy is attack the capital, attack the top people, and that's how you take over. Didn't Kali do that? He attacked the Brahmanas. He entered. The first move was Brahmanas. And in this way, when he took over the Brahmanas or destroyed the Brahminical culture, then the whole Vedic society, Vedic culture practically got lost or contaminated. What is the first country that Kali attacked? India. In India, which are the most affected, which are the places which is most badly affected by Kali? The most important places of pilgrimage, the really holy places, are the first place that Kali actually took over. So this is his strategy: take over the capital, take the head, the whole body will come, right? And that's what Kali has done by just taking over, destroying Vedic culture and taking over India. Kali has spread his influence all over the world, captured the whole world. Now Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to counteract Kali's influence. So how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is doing it? Kali's strategy is divide and spread his influence. So in order to counteract Kali's influence, Mahaprabhu's strategy is unite and counteract Kali's influence. And so that is how, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement is the Sankirtan. Sankirtan means collective. Sankirtan means unified. And also consider, Prabhupada did not actually start the movement in India. Prabhupada came all the way to America to start the movement here. So when, Kali has taken over the capital and thus he spread the influence. Now Prabhupada's way is to surround Kali and move in. Right? Now in order to do that, what do we have to do? The first thing we have to do is that we have to become united. And when the society, community of devotees become divided, that means Kali, we are becoming victims of Kali's attack. Over trivial issues, we are just fighting, we are becoming divided. Now, you know, and how can we become united? In order to become united, we have to put Prabhupada in the center. You know, I tell you, in ISKCON, we are becoming divided. We are becoming divided on our gurus. You know, we are creating camps of different gurus within ISKCON, and the society is becoming divided. You know, I mean, these are, you know, like, I mean, I feel bad to say it, but, you know, these are the reality. This is the reality, and we have to deal with that, you know. Like, and why we are becoming divided? Because we are not really putting Prabhupada in the center. We are putting the gurus in the center, and Prabhupada is missing from the scene. And as a result of that, you know, like, we are just, you know, becoming weaker and weaker. And I would say that, you know, the mistake is ours, you know, like the devotees will become attracted to the guru naturally. But the guru will have to say that to him, Prabhupada is the person that I am representing. You are not my property, you are Prabhupada's property. My business as a representative to connect you to Srila Prabhupada. So that's what we actually have to, you know, understand and act. And so we have to put emphasis on Srila Prabhupada, we have to put emphasis on ISKCON. Like, actually Prabhupada and ISKCON are non-different. Prabhupada has left the planet, but Prabhupada is present in the form of ISKCON. So we have to emphasize, you know, we have to see how ISKCON can become strong. I mean, I very clearly say that if ISKCON becomes glorified, if ISKCON becomes powerful, if ISKCON becomes the most effective spiritual organization in the world and spread Krishna consciousness all over the world, then as a sweeper even, I'll become glorified to be a part of that institution. But if ISKCON falls apart and I become a big guy, then what's the point in being that big guy? I would rather be a sweeper in an ISKCON which is so glorious. And ISKCON is glorious. You know, look what ISKCON has already done. And another wonderful thing is that in spite of Srila Prabhupada's absence for 30 years, 32 years, ISKCON is still together. That is a saving grace. You know, Gaudiya Math, in 3 months' time they started to fall apart. They started to disintegrate. Within 3 days after Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's disappearance, they started to fight among themselves. At least in ISKCON, we all are together. At least the institution is there. And so that's the saving grace, and that, you know, like, and in a way I can say that, you know, ISKCON has actually overcome the worst crisis. The worst crisis we have been able to surmount. And now, you know, ISKCON is just going to go up and up and up.
Yeah, that seems positive. Right. Yeah. Positive.
Right. So let us become united, you know, let's forget our petty differences, let's forget our, you know, trivial personal interests and personal agendas, and let's just focus on to real mission, like how to spread Krishna consciousness, and then just push this movement forward. So few people are joining. So those who are there, let's try to get them unified. And our unity is actually our strength. Our unity is our strength. Prabhupada half jokingly used to say that in Krishna consciousness, 1 is 1, 2 is 11, 3 is 111, that is our strength. 3 is not 3, 3 is 111. And that is how Krishna's mercy actually flows. When you become united, you will see all kinds of wonderful things will start to happen. And let's make an honest, you know, let's make an honest observation. Are we really united today? Our honest reply will be no. We are divided. And that's why, you know, the movement, when you have seen, like in the early days, you know, there are hundreds of devotees in every temple, practically. But today, you know, our temples are empty. There is a joke that I heard, is that in some temples, there are more deities than devotees.
And it's true.
It's true, yeah.
Yeah,
it's
true. Some of those temples, it's very true.
And there was time when hundreds of devotees are going out distributing Srila Prabhupada's books. Today book distribution practically stopped. Where are the brahmacharis to be distributing books? And their devotees, there are so many initiated devotees, but they are mostly congregation devotees. The temple devotees are very few. That means we are not actually inspiring people to come and take to Krishna consciousness wholeheartedly. I'm talking about the youth. Youth are not responding, and without the youth force, we won't be able to do something substantial. All the big things, all the remarkable things in the world happen with the involvement of the youth. So until and unless the youth get involved, until and unless we are able to motivate the youth, we won't be able to succeed. Okay. So please get together and figure out how to push the movement forward. And let's forget about our petty differences and become fixed up on the principles of Krishna consciousness, you know. Like, I mean, I was, you know, this morning's class actually revealed so many things, you know, like this question answer session. Like, we are forgetting the very basics of Krishna consciousness. And we are introducing so many deviant practices. That should stop. The other day we were talking about, the topic came up about women's lib. And my response to that was, why should it be only women's lib? We are interested in everyone's liberation. We are here to liberate everybody. Why should be only the women be liberated, not men?
In our species of life.
Huh? Right. All species of life. You know, Prabhupada very emphatically pointed out that Krishna consciousness is the solution to everything. Like everything that this world, everything positive, everything desirable that this world desires today can be achieved only through Krishna consciousness, not through anything else. Like Prabhupada even used to say that United Nations, all the nations can become united only under the banner of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan movement, not otherwise. And Prabhupada pointed out, I mean, this is supposed to be United Nations, but each time I come here, I see the number of the flags increased. So that means they are not being united, they are becoming divided. And now that, you know, I'm kind of interacting with them, I'm seeing it's all tamasha, it's all joke. They just, you know, pretend as if, you know, they're doing so much, but they're not doing anything.
Huh? I think that somehow in this day and age, there's a tendency to create these, like, feel-good societies.
Right, feel-good society, yeah. Right. But they're good people, they're good people. Like, there was one session, the first, I was in here this time, two programs. The first program was a program on forgiveness, in the process of in order to achieve reconciliation or something like that. Mm-hmm. I forgot the title, some fancy title, you know, forgiveness. And there were two speakers. One was a lady, Dr. Eileen Boris. She wrote a book on forgiveness, and which was the introduction was written by Dalai Lama, and big person, you know. And she was the first speaker, and she asked me for how long I wanted to speak. I asked her for how long you want to speak. So she, I don't remember how much time was given to us, but she practically wanted, you know, 2/3 of the time and 1/3. I said, fine. and she spoke. Very good speaker. And anyway, then I spoke for my slot. And my points were very simple, that, you know, forgiveness is actually a product of mercy. And to be able to be, to display mercy to others, especially to those who hurt you, it needs a lot of character. One needs to be elevated. One needs to transcend the material platform. And that kind of, these qualities can develop only when we recognize our actual identity being spiritual. Then only we can transcend the material platform. And this can be developed only by developing our relationship with God. So anyway, this was my basic point, you know, like forgiveness is desirable, but we have to consider how we can develop these qualities. These qualities will develop only when we become... Yeah, the first point I actually made was that there are three modes of material nature and how people act on different modes. And generally people act on mode of passion and ignorance. And I gave an example of that, passion and ignorance and goodness. You see, somebody gets hit by a bicycle. While crossing the road, he gets hit by a bicycle. Now, one kind of person who is in the mode of ignorance, being hit like that, he will feel the pain and start crying. The person who is in the mode of passion, he will just get up and start beating the cyclist up. And the person in the mode of goodness, he will just brush the dust off his body and he'll say, it's alright, don't worry, and he'll walk away. So the point I pointed out, that in order to develop this quality of forgiveness and mercy, we have to come to the mode of goodness. Unless and until we come to a mode of goodness, we won't be able to, no matter how much we talk, we won't be able to display this in reality. And then I pointed out how we can develop these qualities of goodness. And anyway, so I didn't really talk very much, and then there was a question and answer session. And question and answer session also, she was dominating. And devotees were a little upset. That why they were upset with her, no? I mean, that, you know, why she is, you know, taking up the whole time. And Sharanagati was the moderator of that, you know. And then I specified, when they told me that how upset they were about her, I said, don't worry, I'm here not to speak. I'm here to develop relationship. And because, you see, if I kind of try to push her down and take the scene over, then people would have developed, people would have got a negative impression from that. But that I took a kind of a backseat, and another thing I said, that I'm sitting there dressed in this, that itself makes a statement.
Oh, yeah.
I don't need to speak. Whatever little I speak, if it is in conformity with my dress, that will sink deep. And then in the evening, there was a kind of a dinner. And yeah, she was there, and I was talking, and that time I was doing all the talking in the evening, and she was listening, and she was a very receptive lady. She was a very and all those who came, like, we had a long talk, and that get together was really effective, because, you know, it was just a very personal thing. I was doing most of the talking, and they were listening, they were absorbing, you know, with genuine interest, and I was giving them pure Krishna consciousness. and then the next day I was in the class, next day I had another program which was pure religious thing. There was a Christian cardinal, there was a Muslim imam, and me. I was the first speaker in that one. And Dr. Boris was there, Eileen Boris was there, and Sharanagati was sitting next to her. And she was telling Sharanagati, "I want to know more about God. I want to know how to develop relationship with God." I mean, this is when I was speaking. And so, you know, like, people are there, you know, who are receptive, who are willing, you know. And, you know, that's where, you know, platform like UN and things, you know, is important, because, you know, there we are getting a chance. Like, if I met them in any other forum, I couldn't have been that effective. Mm-hmm. But, you know, like, there, also later on I was introduced to one very eminent lawyer from New York. From his dress you can see that, you know, I mean, the way he was carrying himself, you could see that he was an important person.
Oh, that's the man in pink?
Huh?
That's the man in pink? I heard about one man who was
pink.
Pink?
No, he was not pink. He was
a pink tie, a pink hat.
And no, he was in a white coat. He has a kind of a hair in ponytail.
Yes, well, he has a
pink
hat.
Pink hat, okay.
Man in
pink. Okay.
Pink tie.
Oh, I see, I didn't know.
Very elegant, very elegant.
Yeah, he was, you could see that he was very elegant here, the expressions he used. And he came, I mean, you could see that he was really appreciative. He was telling that, "I never knew that Hinduism has so much in common with Christianity." What I believe, he didn't say Christianity. He said, "Hinduism has so much in common with what I believe." Like, and what was your impression about him, Archana?
My first impression is like, he just came for the show. Initially I thought, oh, one of those who come just for the show to be seen, to just go. But after when he told us, like, I could see how he was listening carefully, and after you told us.
Did you speak to him?
No, because he just went to you after.
Okay.
Went to you and left.
Yeah.
But I learned a lesson. We should not, like, judge.
Mm-hmm.
Because initially that was my intention. Like,
who is this?
I learned a lesson that we should, you know, should not judge externally.
Actually, Ralph introduced him to me, and he told who he was, and anyway, I mean, people are receptive everywhere. We simply have to meet them in the right way and create the right impression, maybe. And I feel that this credit crunch, this financial meltdown, is going to make the world more receptive now.
Mm-hmm.
They're searching for some solution, some alternative. And as Prabhupada said, Krishna consciousness is the only solution. And they are realizing it. I mean, at least they are realizing that they don't have any tangible solution in hand. Yes, Jayashree, you have to go. Yeah, thank you. You have to go.
I do. I'm feeling very inspired. I'm going out of
And I feel very happy. Stay in touch, huh? And if there's anything I can do, please let me know. Hare Krishna. You know, I was just thinking, I have a sweater just like yours.
Yeah. I'll remember that. Thank you.
Hare Krishna.
I had a question.
Yeah.
I'm not initiated, and but I have been looking everyone chanting, and I have been doing that. Sometimes I chant 8 rounds, sometimes 10, sometimes 16, sometimes 5. But I'm not regular in that. But I want to do more and more service. I feel it from inside that I have to do more and more. I can do. Is there, like yesterday you were talking, we were discussing that you should keep Krishna in center and then look your family and everyone in your family. Do you have any borderline for that? Like, this is the borderline that you have to be in Krishna consciousness as well as you have to look your family. I mean, not be able to put in proper words, but is there any borderline that, yeah, this is the certain point that you have to practice Krishna consciousness and this is the certain point that you have to take care of your family too?
Yeah. First of all, you know, like when you say that you are not initiated, I will say, no, you are initiated.
Mm-hmm.
When you begin to chant, when you accept the process of Krishna consciousness, that's the time your spiritual life actually began. If initiation means the beginning, your spiritual life already began. So now that you began your spiritual life, become serious about it. And when you go deeper into Krishna consciousness, when you read Prabhupada's books, you will see that Krishna consciousness actually means you develop your love for Krishna. When you develop your love for Krishna, then you will tend to see everything in the light of that love. And when you see everything in the light of that love, then you don't neglect anything. Rather, you appreciate everything. When you see everything in that light of that love for Krishna, then you will see your family in that light. And then you will deal with your family not as an undesirable responsibility which is hindering your Krishna consciousness, obstructing your Krishna consciousness, but you will see that that is a part of your Krishna consciousness. Taking care of your family is a part of your service to Krishna. It's not either or, but it is that. This is Krishna consciousness. Your family is your field of service. You are a housewife. So you have your children, you have your household responsibilities. Now approach that household responsibility with that love for Krishna. How? That they are Krishna's. Your children are not your children. Your children are Krishna's property. And you as a mother, you are the caretaker of these children. You are Krishna's, like your position is, you are Krishna's maid servant, taking care of Krishna's children. Now what responsibility do you have? That you bring them up in a way that they become Krishna's property, right? You take them back to Krishna. Now, see, this is how your household responsibilities will become harmonized in your devotional service. Your taking care of your household will become your devotional service. So in this way, whatever we do becomes our devotional service. You are in a certain situation, right? You are in a certain situation, so that is your way of rendering service. I am in a certain other situation, my way of rendering devotional service may be different from yours, but that doesn't mean that my way is the only way and your ways is not. We have to learn to harmonize everything into Krishna consciousness. And the only thing that you have to be very, very particular about is chanting the holy name and following the principles and reading Prabhupada's books. You have to find time for that. And I will say, if you have time to eat, you have time to sleep, I'm sure you can make some time for chanting and reading Prabhupada's books.
That is true. Like, yeah, I have time to sleep, eat, but at the same time I enjoy doing sewing or making jewelry. Or
for whom you are doing it?
For Didi.
Okay, so that's devotional service.
I enjoy that.
Yeah.
She can listen to tape while she's sewing.
Yeah, that of course, but no, but
I can listen to but
no, what I'm saying is come to the platform of 16 rounds. Because that is Prabhupada's standard. Like, you know, Prabhupada's thing was that, you know, 16 rounds you have to chant. So I will suggest that please make your or day, organize your day in such a way that you have 16 rounds to chant. You have time to chant 16 rounds. I leave it up to you. All right.
I will try.
It takes only 2 hours. You have 24 hours.
I do try to make a point that I get up early and try to do my chanting.
What time do you get up?
I get up at 5.
Okay, that's
five,
good.
Five.
That's good.
But
that's very good.
By the time I get ready and do all the stuff, it's like. I have to cook and then I go to office for I work for 3 days in a week.
I see.
So by the time it is 7:38 o'clock, I have time to go to office. So my chanting is interrupted and then I get frustrated that I didn't get time to chant.
Do you have to, why it takes 3 hours to get ready?
To get ready and like cook and everything, and I do RV and everything.
Do you have to cook in the morning?
Yes.
What do you cook in the morning?
Sabji roti.
Sabji roti. Mm-hmm.
I have to make my husband's lunch, my lunch, and my son's lunch.
Oh, I see. I see. And then when do you come home?
By 1:30.
Okay. Then?
Then I eat my food and then go pick up my son from school.
Okay.
Take a nap of half an hour or so.
Yeah. Anyway, see if you can find the time. Morning.
I really want to do 16 rounds. It's not that I don't want to
like, you see, like, if you can at least take 1 hour in the morning, chant during that time. In 1 hour, you can easily do 8 rounds. And other 8 rounds, you can do during the day. Like, you're driving to pick up your son, like that, you know, like the times that are there in between while waiting for your son, just try to chant the other 8 rounds. I know life is difficult, but what to do? You know, that's the standard that Srila Prabhupada gave.
Like, it sometimes happens that you are just into God, you have other responsibilities also to take care, so you better chant 3 rounds or 5 rounds, whichever is suitable for you. Don't chant 16 rounds or something like that. It happens, then I feel bad.
I'll tell you one thing, that
I'm trying to ignore the house, or household responsibilities, or I don't want to do that. And at the same time, I feel I'm not doing justice because I'm not chanting the rounds. I'm not just doing justice here also and here also. How to balance between these two?
See how you can find the time. Huh? Just consider, because it's difficult for me to, you know, program your routine. But at least, you know, you can decide. You can see how you can do that. But my point is, please try to do that. Why I'm saying it? Because, you know, as Prabhupada's representative, I have to say what Prabhupada said. And one thing I'll also admit, that to the students I tell them that just at least try to chant 1 round, because I know they're young, they have pressure for their studies and all that, you know, like they may not be able to chant, you know, 16. But if they chant at least 1 round, they're connected to the holy name. They're connected to Krishna. But your case, I mean, I'm not going to tell you the same thing. Although I know your days are busy, you're working and you have to take care of your household and so forth. But that's why I would leave it up to you. Like, if you can't do it right now, but try to come to a situation when you'll be able to do that 16 minutes a day. Yes, Abhinav.
You know, a lot of householders have gone through this phenomenon where you want to surrender to Krishna, you want to surrender to the process, but then you start and you say, well, I have to take care of my family, I have to do that, and you know, I also have children, so I know what you're going through. But then we start looking at our standards of life. You know, we have a house, well, maybe we have a bigger house, I like a little land, maybe I want more land, okay, have a car, maybe I get more. Well, all those things, they start to steal your life, they actually start to enslave you, because the holy name is going to take you out of this world, and those things are going to make you attached to this world. So oftentimes we lie to ourselves more than we lie to anyone else. And in this age of Kali, right, there's 4 pillars of religiosity. The only lasting one is truthfulness, and that one's being broken. So the first person you have to be truthful to is yourself. So if you structure your life, if you're if you can't get 16 rounds, then you have to live a simpler life, really. That's the choice you have to make. But maybe the house you have is maybe a little too big, because, you know, generally speaking, you can live comfortably in America. And those are the choices that you have to make, and those are the hard choices, is to actually live a little bit.
And that's why I left it up to you. I mean, I left it up to her. You decide and read Prabhupada's books, and Prabhupada will, you'll see that Prabhupada will show you the way. Like, but make it a point, pray to Srila Prabhupada, please tell me how I can come to this platform. Because remember one thing, that Prabhupada is the founder acharya of Islam. And the standard that Srila Prabhupada gave, that standard must be maintained. Prabhupada said 16 rounds, that means Prabhupada actually expects that everyone in ISKCON should chant at least 16 rounds. Now how to make it happen, how to do it, that'll be up to you. I'm leaving it up to you. And, you know, like, I'll tell you, like, I won't be surprised, in order to fulfill that, you know, order of Srila Prabhupada, if someday I see that you are packing up from America and going back to India to find a more conducive situation to follow these instructions of Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada will inspire you from within. He'll show you the way. And it'll be like that, you know, you'll come to a situation when you'll wonder, is it important that I make this money in America? Or will it be better to go back to India and lead a simpler life? Maybe that I won't be earning so much money. Right. So the thing is, that's what I mean, right?
I would love to do that.
And you see, it's ultimately it's like this. You see, you are Krishna's part and parcel. Krishna wants you to come back to him. Now that you have resolved that you want to go back to him, Krishna will make all the arrangements. And we are here simply to assist you to fulfill that. Like you are asking me, and I'm giving the instructions, or I'm explaining it to you. I won't say instructing, but I'll say I'm explaining it to you. And in this way, you know, that's why Prabhupada created ISKCON, so that, you know, sincere souls can get the proper environment and proper guidance and proper facilities to re-establish their connection with Krishna. Krishna is all merciful, Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is waiting. Why do you think Krishna is in your heart, going with you wherever you are going? Why? Did you ever consider that? Because he loves you.
That's true.
Right.
I have experienced that in my life. Many of you knowing that. But this is I never expected that, I never dreamt that I will be coming to US in my life. Not even in my dreams I had that thing in mind that I will be coming. And at this particular age, around about 30, 35, which is this age. And I'm very thankful to Krishna, because first it happened in my life, was like my first marriage book, I had a child with that. And then when I got married after 8 years, I happened to come to US. And I actually, as you say, ISKCON people used to come to our house, but we were not able, not that inquisitive maybe, so we were not able to get that information or instructions from them properly. But when I came here, that time I found out who's Krishna. I knew Krishna, this Radha and Krishna and this thing. And after coming here, I found out who is Radha and Krishna, who is Shivji, and who is
Brahmaji and all that stuff. And then I realized, because before leaving US, I just prayed to, I went into a temple, a Shivji temple, and I just told him while leaving that do whatever you want, but if something worse is going to happen, just don't bring me back to this place, to my parents again. I don't want to be a burden on my parents. And he really took care of me, that I got a very nice husband who is in a Krishna consciousness. And touch wood, he is very nice to me, my son. And I have experienced that, it's not that. Because he is loving me, that's why he got me here. And by his mercy and mercy of Srila Prabhupada and by mercy of other devotees, senior devotees and the temple, that I am able to do some service in the temple.
Thanks.
I can see that
yeah.
He is present within me, and he is all the time with me.
Very good. So wonderful. So now stay on this path and take full advantage of this process. And you know, like if you can't chant 16 now, make it a point to chant at least, you know, certain number of rounds every day, and then try to create the situation when you can chant 16 rounds. All right.
We'll have to all get together to chant again. Last year I had worked. It wasn't like a job workshop where there was a lot of talking, but we just organized for the temple, which, you know, we had like from 8 in the morning to 12, everyone came and just chanted japa together, and then we had nice kirtan and prasad, and a lot of people who normally hadn't chanted, they felt like jump started in that way. So I think that's also a very nice way to bring the community together, to chanting together.
Yes, see, that's where you need to get together, and this getting together, you know, automatically creates that inspiration.
You have an early flight, we shouldn't keep you up.
Huh?
I said you have an early flight, we shouldn't keep you up.
That's okay. Yes, see.
Maharaj, I have a question. It's kind of similar to her question. I've been chanting 16 rounds for like 8 months, and I've been reading Prabhupada's books every day, and I'm trying to do everything I can spiritually advance, but I'm coming to a point now where I just don't know what else to do to further, you know, my study of Krishna consciousness. What would you suggest me do?
You see, after you take to Krishna consciousness, after you accept Krishna consciousness with faith, then the next most important thing is to be in the association of devotees. Right? So be in the association of devotees. The association of devotees can be of two kinds. One is the physical association, to be with devotees, and when you're with devotees, be favorably disposed to them. Prabhupada used to say, sometimes a bed bug is very close to you. But, you know, but that's not a bed bug, it's not really your desirable association, nor is the bed bug associating with you. So be favorably disposed. That means try to get Krishna from them. You know, spiritual life or devotional service means a business of getting Krishna. Right? So consider, you know, what would be the best way to get Krishna, how much of Krishna you can get. So now that your association with a devotee means they are the ones, those who have Krishna, and you try to be, try to get him. Be very eager about that. Be very greedy about that, getting Krishna through the process of hearing about Krishna from them. And another association is the association through the books or hearing Prabhupada's states. So that way, by reading Prabhupada's books and hearing Prabhupada's states, you will get the association of Srila Prabhupada. So even though the personal association with devotees may not be that readily available, but this association is very much available. At any point, at any time, anywhere, you can associate with Srila Prabhupada through listening to his tapes and reading his books. So, and once you do that, then the rest will automatically happen. As read Prabhupada's books with sincerity and, you know, carefully. Go deep into that. And not just read, I will say, study Prabhupada's books. If possible, take notes while you are reading. Okay.
It's going to be hard because I'm in school full time, so I'm just
going to
get taken out right now.
I see. How much time do you have, like, spare time?
Well, I go to school full time now. I have a 14-month-old baby, so I don't have a whole lot of time, but I...
Who takes care of the baby when you go to school?
My mother takes care of him.
Okay.
But I, when he goes to bed is when I do my homework, and then I study, well,
what are you studying?
I study religion.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. And I'm going to get a minor in education.
Okay. That's a major.
Yeah, my major is religion. Yeah. I'm trying to.
Very good.
Since I can't listen, I've been really happy, so I'm trying to stay with you. Mm. Everything is good.
Very good. What's your name?
Margaret.
Margaret. Thank you, Margaret. Hare Krishna. So whenever you get time, read Prabhupada's books, listen to Prabhupada's tapes. And when do you, how, I mean, it's remarkable that in spite of your studies, you are chanting 16 rounds. When do you chant your rounds?
I get up before he does. And then I stay up late. I don't get that much sleep, but at least I know I feel, if I don't chant my rounds, I don't feel good.
Wonderful.
So that's like, it's a priority of mine because I know, I mean, when you said at the Sunday lecture, you said how chanting with 16 rounds and following the four principles, it is like, it sounds so simple, but it is simple because if you do that, your life is like, there's so many positive things do come
wonderful.
By those. Mm-hmm. Five things are like, that's almost the most important things you need to do. I really am so happy how you make everything really simple because it is sometimes, it can get complex, but if you have to make your life, you have, like you said, you have to simplify your life to make Krishna like the center of it. And that's what I'm trying to do. I have to get through school, but then once I get through school, my goal is to just, you know, put all that time.
Wonderful. Thank you, Margaret.
Thank you, Margaret.
Hare Krishna. So, yeah, it's 9:30 now. So, I look forward to seeing you all when I come back. Mary Kay, when are you going back to Estonia?
Mid of June.
Okay. Okay, then I was very happy to meet you. We'll meet again. Maybe someday I'll go to Estonia. Do you go to India?
Maybe.
You didn't go there as yet.
Okay.
If you, I mean, everybody goes to India. So when you go to India, come to Vijay. That's the place where I am. I'm in the sense I'm developing some projects there. And others, I'll see you again soon.
Thank you very much, Maharaj.
Yeah. Hare Krishna, not a word for
me. Thank you so much.
We would love to see you back.
Huh?
We would love to see you back.
Yeah.
I'm very happy to say that I'll see you in Uchi.
Yeah.
Otherwise I would be lamenting now. But
let's see, I'm coming back in July.
Really?
I'm coming back in July. First to 8th August is the retreat.
Yeah.
And I'll come about a week before, probably. And let me see. And that retreat is 1st to 8th. And most really on 9th, I'll leave for India because Janmashtami is on the 14th. So I want to go, I have to go back to India before Janmashtami. So, let's see if I can make it to North Carolina, Hillsboro. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Jai Srila
Prabhupada.
Hare Krishna, Mother Sadhvi, take care.
Oh, thank you.